Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us this week. You know, great shalom have those who love his law or his Torah. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. So great joy and peace and blessing are upon those who love his law, who love his Torah, who have it written upon their hearts and upon their minds. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. Scripture talks about in the end times that there will be those who fall away, who will fall into the deception of the evil one because they did not possess a love of his Torah or his commands or the law that Yahweh gave us. So for that very fact, we are here to study his word because we love his Torah. We know that when we walk in obedience to his word, that there is joy, there is a blessing, there is peace, there is a completeness that we feel in our lives. And also we know that we are wise unto the schemes of the evil one, and we will be able to stand against the trials of this world, and we will be counted worthy to be able to enter into the gates the New Jerusalem, because number one, we believe in Yeshua and he has cleansed us of all of our unrighteousness. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit, given us a love for his word, given us a love for his law and his Torah. And by his spirit, we're walking in obedience to his word and we are able to withstand the deception of the evil one, and we will make it into the gates of the New Jerusalem. And with that said, you know, we are starting the Torah portion afresh, anew. And so we are actually reading in the very first Torah portion for the year. So if you are reading along at home, you know that we are starting in Genesis chapter 1, and we are reading through the very beginning portions of Genesis chapter 6. You know, and in this portion is where it all starts. It is in the beginnings. It is where we read of creation. It is where Yahweh worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rests. And it's at the very moment of creation that he sets apart the seventh day Sabbath. So every Shabbat, when we stop and we cease from work, we are doing just as our Creator did. We cease from our work on that seventh day, and we enjoy the day that he has set apart. We remember him as our Creator. We remember him as our Redeemer. The fact that Yeshua came and died upon that cross for us and has redeemed us from sin. And we look forward to the fact that one day this body of corruption will put on incorruption, and we will enter into a place of permanent rest. He will pull us out of this evil and dark and sinful and evil, lawless world to live with him where his righteousness will dwell forevermore. You know, and when his righteousness dwells forevermore, what's going to reign in that place? It's going to be his Torah. It is going to be his law. So for those that want to make the law a curse, a evil thing, a bad thing, they are going to be shocked when they find out that the very thing that is going to reign in the New Jerusalem is going to be the actual law of Yahweh. And the fact that we have put on in corruption, we will follow his law perfectly, and we will not have any shortcomings. We will not miss the mark, but we will be able to fulfill it perfectly. And because everyone will be fulfilling it perfectly, we will live in perfect righteousness and in perfect peace and in harmony. And we're going to see the blessings that flow from when we truly walk in the instructions that he has given us. That's what we have to look forward to. And so with that said, let's go ahead and jump into today's teaching. And we're going to be teaching out of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about the fall of man. Yahweh created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Like I said, he created Adam and Eve. He set them in the garden, and Adam and Eve were without sin at the beginning. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They had an intimate relationship with Yahweh himself. there in the garden. But something happened. And when that happened, sin entered the world. And that is why we live in a world of corruption. We live in a body of corruption because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And so let's go ahead and read here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which Yahweh God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, the first thing I want to talk about here in this passage that we see regarding the serpent is that the serpent himself was deceitful. That's what it says about him. He was deceitful. And what we see in his conversation with Eve is that the serpent, or we could say Satan himself, our adversary, had no regard for Yahweh's law. Okay, so that's something that we need to understand as people who have a desire to walk in covenant with Yah. For people who desire to walk in that which is righteous before him, to walk in a way that is pleasing before him. Remember, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's how we show him we love him, is through our obedience. Yeshua died upon that tree, upon that cross, to redeem us from sin. So we're no longer under the power of sin that entered into the world because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. He has set us free. So now we can now love him as he wants to be loved, okay? But the serpent does not want us to love God. He doesn't want us to walk in obedience to God's word. So he comes along, and his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what he wants. He wants to steal God's blessing from you. He wants to steal God's life that he has given you. He wants to steal life from you because he fell. He was thrown down out of heaven. So his desire is he don't want you to be in heaven with God. He wants to rob and steal you of that joy and of that blessing. So he's going to come and he's going to try to deceive people. And scripture actually talks about in the end times that there will be those who are deceived and there will be a falling away. And the reason it says there's going to be a falling away is interesting. It's because they do not possess a love for God's Torah or his law, the instructions that he has given us. And it's interesting because we see here in this scripture that the serpent, Satan, had no regard whatsoever for the instructions or the law which Yahweh had given Adam and Eve in the garden. And because he had no regard for it, he chose to try to deceive them. So let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 44. This is Yeshua speaking. "You are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it." So this is Yeshua speaking of the devil. And what does he say of the devil? That he is a liar. That's what he speaks. Lies. He does not speak truth. You know, what is the truth? Scripture tells us itself that the Torah, or the law of Yahweh is truth. So the devil speaks lies. He doesn't speak the Torah. He's actually at war with the Torah of Yahweh. Now, he will twist scripture, and Satan knows scripture. And it's sad because Satan probably knows scripture more than most Christians and believers out there. And because he knows more scripture than them, he is able to successfully twist and manipulate scripture to deceive people to follow a lie. Okay? So we have to be careful of the schemes of the devil. So that's the first thing we learn here in this story with Adam and Eve. And is that we can see how Satan works. And that is through deception, and that is through twisting God's word, through twisting God's law and instructions, which he has given to us to try and deceive us. So we need to be able to stand against his deception. Okay? He will try and deceive you about what the law actually is. That's one of the things. He has deceived those that are in Judaism about what the law is. He has deceived them in the fact that they think that they can obey his law, Yahweh's law, the Torah, and obtain righteousness and enter into heaven without believing in Yeshua. They have fallen to that deception. The law is not a tool which cleanses people, or you could say justifies people or forgives people of their sins. Number one, the law sanctifies us, or it sets us apart. Okay? So we first must be justified before we could ever be sanctified, before we can be set apart. So we have to be careful that we do not fall under the deception of what the law is. That's an example of Satan using the law for his benefit to get a group of people to not believe in the Messiah. Okay? The devil twisted Yahweh's word when he tempted Yeshua in the desert. Remember, he at one point, in one of the testings of Yeshua, actually quoted scripture to Yeshua. But he twisted it. But Yeshua, being wiser than the devil, was able to overcome the deception of the devil and, in fact, returned and quoted scripture back to the devil to show him where he was interpreting scripture wrong. Okay, so we have to be like Yeshua. We need to learn from Yeshua in the wilderness. When Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted scripture back to Satan three times. In fact, the scripture that he quoted was scripture from the law, from the Torah. So there is devil-defeating power in God's law, in his Torah, in his word. So we need to have his word written upon our hearts. You know, Psalm speaks. It says, how does a young man keep his way clean? It says, by what? By having the words, the law, the Torah of God stored within his heart. So it starts in our hearts. It's having his Torah written upon our hearts. It's knowing his word. It's having an intimate relationship and understanding of his law and of his Torah and being filled with his spirit so that we can overcome the deception that he tries to throw at us. And also, not only is the devil at war with the law of God, but also is our flesh. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we were all born with this sinful flesh, this flesh that's at war with the law of God. So we have to be careful. And we need to understand that there is something inside of each and every single one of us that does not desire or want to submit itself to the law of God. to his Torah. It does not want to walk in obedience. So we need to understand that. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul speaks of this. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Remember, Paul would say in Romans that the law of God, the Torah, is righteous, good, and spiritual. The Spirit leads us according to the law of God. So when we walk in the Spirit, we walk in obedience to the law of God, and these things are at war against our flesh. Our flesh does not want to submit itself to the Spirit of God or to the Torah of God. So it's at war against these things. But each and every day, we need, as believers in Yeshua, as sons of God, we need to kill our flesh and submit ourselves to the Spirit, right? So the flesh will attempt to deceive us to get what it wants. So we need to be careful in how we read and interpret Scripture. Are we reading and interpreting Scripture according to our flesh? Or you could say, through the lenses of our flesh, is the desires of our flesh leading us and directing us and causing us to read Scripture a certain way, to interpret Scripture a certain way, to apply Scripture in our lives a certain way. So that's something that we need to be careful of as believers. And if we're truly going to be able to open up His Word, the Bible, and read His Bible, and read all of it, Genesis through Revelation, and be able to understand it and interpret it and apply it to our lives, in a righteous and just and perfect, complete manner, we have to be able to do it in a spirit of submission, coming humbly before our God and asking for His help, asking for His Holy Spirit to speak to us and to lead us and to correct us and to show us where we have walked in His Word, where we have built doctrine, where we have built teachings according to our flesh instead of according to His Spirit. Allowing His Spirit to interpret His Word, allowing His Spirit to teach us His Word instead of us learning and interpreting His Word through our flesh. So it's by His Spirit. It's not by our flesh, it's not by our might, it's not by our strength, it's not by our ability, by our smarts, by our wisdom, but it's by His Spirit that we're able to grow and learn His Word and walk in His Spirit and be able to interpret and understand His Scripture and to be wise unto His Scripture, and to walk in truth, and to not fall into the deceptions of the flesh and the evil one. Now, the second thing we see here with Adam and Eve in the garden is they were tempted in three areas. And it's the same with us. There are three areas of our lives where we will see temptation. They're going to either be in the lust of our flesh. That is where they looked at the apple. The woman saw that the fruit was good for food. So she saw it was good. It's something that would satisfy her flesh. That is what that right there is talking about. And it talks about it was pleasant to the eyes. So that speaks of the lust of our eyes. So there's sin falls into the areas where there are things that our body craves and desires, and so we give in to the cravings or the desires of our bodies. There's sin out there that calls and leads us and tempts us because it looks good to the eyes. Our eyes see it and our eyes want it. So that is the lust of the eyes. Then the other thing it says is they saw that the tree was desirable to make them wise. So this speaks of the pride of life. So these are the three areas of sin that we will be tempted in as children of God when the Satan comes along to try to deceive us. And our flesh tries to deceive us and pull us away. It is going to be the very lust of our flesh, that the evil desires that's within inside of our bodies, the lust of our eyes. It's looking upon something and desiring something that it should not have. And it is also the pride of life, to exalt oneself up, to think of oneself more highly than he ought to. You know, Yeshua was tempted in these same three things in the wilderness. Three times Yeshua was tempted in the means of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he did not fall. He did not enter into that temptation. He resisted that temptation. As I said before, he resisted by quoting scripture. So he was able to overcome the temptation. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So when we look at the lawlessness that's around us in the world, when we look at the chaos and the evilness and the wickedness, it all can be boiled down to those three things. For all that is in the world consists of those three: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that is leading to the chaos, the destruction, the evilness, and the lawlessness that abounds in the world around us. That is what the world consists of. The world walks as those who give in to the lust of their flesh, who give in to the lust of their eyes, and they give in to the pride of life. That is how the world walks. But we are not to love the things of the world or the things that are in the world. So we're not to love walking according to our flesh. We're not to love giving in to our flesh, giving in to our eyes and the lust of our eyes and the pride of life. But we are to resist those things. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. We are to be conformed into the image of our Creator, into the image of our Redeemer, our Messiah, Yeshua. That's why Paul says that we are to be transformed. Because, see, we were once walking as those in the world. So we are no longer to be conformed to our former behavior. But now we need to be changed. We need to look a different way. So we need to be transformed into a different image, and that is into the image of our Father in heaven. And it is those who walk as he walked, who does his will, who will abide forever. Or you will say, will have eternal life with him in the new Jerusalem in heaven. Okay? But those who walk in the conformity of this world, who walks in the lust of their flesh, who walks in the lust of their eyes and in the pride of life, to those, they will be in this world that is passing away. This world's passing away, and they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, as I said, Yeshua was tempted in all three of those things, and he passed. And just as he was tempted and passed, he now helps us through temptation. So when we are tempted with the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, we have someone that we can call upon who will help us through that temptation. And he knows how to pass the test or the trial. Who better to call upon than the one who aced the test? And that is what we have in our Messiah, Yeshua, the one who aced the test. He knows the answers. He knows how to pass the test. We just need to be willing to humble ourselves before him and ask his help and be willing to submit ourselves to him and do what he instructs us to do. How he guides us to help us to overcome temptation. Instead of trying to say that we got it all on our own and we're going to do it on our willpower. Because it's not by our might. It's not by our ability or our strength. Remember, it's by his spirit that we're going to be able to pass temptation, pass the test, stand against the deception and the temptation when it comes our way. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is no temptation that ye face, or we face, that he has not faced and was tempted with. But he was without sin. He passed the test. Okay? So whenever you are tempted, you can know that you serve one who was tempted just as you were, and he understands what you're going through. He understands the pressure of the temptation. He understands the attractiveness and the lure of that temptation. He understands it. So you can call upon him and you can boldly come before him and ask for his mercy and his grace to help you manage that temptation. The third thing we see that Adam and Eve did was that shame came upon them in the garden after they ate of that fruit. We see in the scripture, it talks about how God came to walk in the garden with them as he had done before. But they were now ashamed because of their sin. So they tried to hide themselves and they attempted to cover themselves. Okay, so they made a covering for their bodies. They realized they were naked. And so they made a covering for their bodies and they put it on them. This is spiritually speaking of the fact that sin brings shame. And they experienced that shame. And they attempted to cover their shame or to cover their sin on their own. So we need to be careful not to try to cover sin or our shame that comes when we walk in disobedience, when we disobey his law, that we don't try to cover our own sin, to try to justify ourselves, okay? So don't try to justify your acts. Don't try to justify your disobedience or your sin. When we try to justify ourselves, what we actually are doing is attempting to cover our own selves up instead of allowing the Almighty to cover us. Because what does God do when he shows up in the garden? He gives them a different covering than the one that they made. He covered them with the skin of an animal. So it speaks of how an animal, an innocent animal, had to be killed and that blood was shed for their covering, so that that shame could be covered. So they could no longer feel that shame. See, when they put the covering on, the shame was gone. We are covered by the blood of Yeshua. When we put our faith and our belief in him, see, he was the innocent one, the one without sin, who died upon that cross for us. His blood was shed so that we could be cleansed of our sin, of our uncleanness, where we have fallen into the temptation of the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life. He has cleansed us of that. His blood has covered us of that. So we don't have to feel or experience that shame anymore. The shame is done, has gone away with. When God sees us, he doesn't see our sin anymore, but he sees the blood of Yeshua. He sees the covering that he has applied to us. So we don't need to justify ourselves. We just put our faith and our belief in the atoning work of Yeshua. We confess our sins to him. Don't try to hide them. Don't try to sweep them underneath the rug, but confess your sins unto him, and he is faithful and just to forgive you. And then what do? We have a desire to walk in obedience to his word. So our desire and our goal is to go out and sin no more. That's our goal. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So his blood removes the shame from us, right? And also it cleanses our conscience from the dead works. So let it allow our minds, let his blood cleanse your minds of the wicked behavior, to let go of the things that you have done in the past, to forgive yourselves, to let go of the shame, number one. But number two, also in the cleansing of your conscience, allow it to renew your mind, to allow your mind to no longer think upon the dead works that you used to do, to no longer think about the things of this world, right? To think about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, all right? To not be aware of those things, but to become aware of his righteousness, his law. Now, you know, it's interesting. After Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, it says that they became as one knowing good and evil. So the question could be, was Adam and Eve aware of sin? Were they aware? Did they know about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? See, we are aware of it. We're born into it. We're born into the desires of our flesh. Okay, it's there. Our minds are perfectly aware of it. We did not have to learn or be taught how to walk in the lust of our flesh or in the lust of our eyes or in the pride of life. That came natural unto us. The thing that we need to learn is God's righteousness, which is his law, his Torah. So now we as believers in Yeshua now have this task because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, where we need to have our conscience cleaned, or I would say we need to go through this process of renewing our minds, of unlearning sin, of unlearning this nature, this behavior that we naturally walked in. Unlearning the lust of the flesh, unlearning the lust of the eyes, and unlearning the pride of life. And now learning his word, his law, his righteousness. His righteousness, his Torah, his law is the exact opposite to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we're in this learning process now, having our minds renewed. Let's look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So Paul is instructing the Romans here, and he tells them, I want you to be wise in what is good. So that's our goal. That's the instructions unto us. That's what we need to be aiming for, to be wise in what is good. And Paul, earlier in Romans, said that the law of God, his Torah, was good, righteous, and holy. So be wise in what is good. So be wise unto Yahweh's law or his Torah. But be simple, or be unlearning, I would say, of what is evil. When we become simple unto evil and we become wise unto Yahweh's law, we will be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and we will be able to stand against the deception of the evil one. We will not be deceived, because we will be one who is wise unto Yahweh's truth, his light, which lights up the dark world around us. His Torah, his law, brings light. It shines the path. It shines the way. It gives us a direction and how to navigate through this dark and wicked and lawless world. And when we embrace a love for his Torah and his truth, we will not be deceived. We will not fall to the deception of the evil one, like Adam and Eve fell to the deception of the serpent in the garden. So let's hide his word in our hearts. Let's love his word. And let's be one who desires to possess that love, to possess a desire to walk in obedience to his law and his word. Going through the process of being transformed from this world and not looking like this world anymore, but looking like our Messiah, our Redeemer, Yeshua Messiah, to look like our Heavenly Father in heaven, to walk in his righteousness, and to be wise unto his ways and unlearning the ways of this world. And we can only do this by the help and the work of his Spirit, by his Holy Spirit, working in and through us, leading us and guiding us and instructing us and bringing conviction where we need conviction. Let's be a people who's open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to repent when he brings that conviction, to turn in those areas where we need to turn. Let's pray and be open to see, is there any area in our life where the evil one has deceived us? Are we walking in deception in any area of our lives? Are there things that we need to repent of, that we need to turn from? Let's allow his Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to lead and guide us. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching. And we are so glad that you are joining us each and every week. And we just want to encourage you to come back and join us next week. And again, I will say shalom, y'all.